Each Sunday, we pray the Collect of the Day. This collect is a prayer that sums up the themes of the day and includes a petition, something that we ask of God when we pray it. The collect of the day also gives shape to the weekdays that follow it as we pray it each day at morning prayer and at evening prayer. Though this prayer is only a few lines long, I find that all of the collects of the day in the Book of Common Prayer are gems. They are full of beautiful language, and they offer profound theology. Our collect of the day this morning is one of perhaps the most beloved in our prayer book. It is one that's regularly quoted and referenced. It's pretty common to hear Anglicans say we are to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, especially when talking about Scripture. This collect opens by stating, "Blessed Lord, who caused all holy Scriptures to be written for our learning." This statement asserts that God was at work in forming those writings we hold as Scripture, that the Holy Spirit was active, inspiring human writers to articulate divine truths. After this statement, the collect goes on to ask that we be deeply shaped and formed by Scripture, that we come to inwardly digest it. This suggests taking Scripture into our very being, chewing on it, making it part of us, allowing it to nourish and to strengthen us. It echoes the gospel call to live not just by bread alone, but in fact by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The collect reminds us of the importance of Scripture, and especially for us as Anglicans, how central and important Scripture is. This is a call to daily immerse ourselves in Scripture, allow ourselves to be deeply shaped and formed by it. We are called to take the words of Scripture into our very being, to allow ourselves to be fed and transformed by God's holy word. And if Scripture is the divinely inspired word of God, that word that comes to us to feed and transform us, I wonder, how do we approach passages that are uncomfortable to us? What do we do with those passages of Scripture that are difficult for us to read and to hear? I think our approach ought to be not dismissing a difficult passage, but instead sitting with it, wrestling with it, praying that God would reveal the truth expressed in it. Also praying that we allow ourselves to be patient with this process, to not rush it or worry if it takes a long time. As we wrestle and grapple with difficult words, we can ask that God illumine our hearts and our minds, that God reveal God's truth contained in these words. We can also seek help in this. We can engage commentaries, the work of scholars, consulting their writings, reading what insights those who study Scripture can offer. There is also wisdom to be found in engaging Scripture with the gathered community. One of the deep sadnesses for me of this pandemic is the loss of our Sunday morning discussion group. Regularly, the conversations of that group, all focused around the Scripture readings for that Sunday, have deepened my own understanding of Scripture, have stretched me, have deepened my faith. Today's first reading from the prophet Zephaniah is perhaps one of those challenging passages that might benefit from study and discussion with others. The passage seems to offer very little hope. It is about God's judgment, and coming to us as it does in this time of pandemic, as the coronavirus surges unchecked throughout our nation and our world, hearing God threaten to destroy humankind is perhaps unsettling. The prophet Zephaniah frames the predicament of the people in stark terms. All have sinned and fallen short, and as punishment, God will destroy humanity. Zephaniah declares God is all-powerful, has the power to create and to destroy, though the people believe God has no power, doesn't have power either for good or for harm. The people think God is powerless, ineffectual. And so the people of Zephaniah's age have moved to the worship of idols, putting their trust in false gods made of silver, of gold. And because the people do this, because the people reject God, they will be punished. Zephaniah speaks frightening words from God, and these words are intended to shake the people from their complacency. The passage opens, "Be silent before the Lord God." God is calling the people to be quiet, to hear God's judgment. They are called to listen to God's word, to repent, to return to God. Now, if you read the whole book, at the very end, the prophet Zephaniah says that God will preserve a faithful remnant of the people, that God will be present in the midst of the people. The people will repent, return to God, and they will live in joy with God. But for that to happen, they must listen. They must take God seriously. They must give up their self-centered ways, cast off their complacency and self-indulgence, and faithfully worship God. This passage asks something very demanding. It calls the people to hard work. And it is the same for us today. God asks much of us. God asks us to choose whom we will serve. God calls us to choose faithfulness and obedience to God as our way of life. In our gospel today, Jesus also asks each person to give over everything to following him. This reading is the parable of the talents, and it is a parable of judgment. It tells of a property owner who's going away, and so he entrusts large sums of his money to his servants. Just as a point of reference, one talent in this passage, in that time, equals about 20 years' wages for a daily laborer. One of the servants, the one who receives the most, is given 5 talents, which is a staggering sum of money. The owner doesn't give his servants any instructions what they are to do with the money he gives them. But that first servant, who is given 5 talents, trades with them and doubles their value. The second servant, who is given 2 talents, does the same. Both of these servants use this capital to make more money for the owner. Upon his return, the owner is pleased, and he tells the two, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant." As a reward for their shrewd work, the owner puts these two in charge of even more. The third servant is different from the other two. He is afraid of the owner. He knows the owner to be harsh. He also knows that the owner is good at turning a profit, reaping where he does not sow. And so he is fearful. He's afraid of what to do with this money, and he buries it to keep it safe. He is afraid of losing the 1 talent he is given. He doesn't want to earn the wrath of the owner. And he doesn't even take the safe path of investing the money with bankers, earning interest. When the owner learns what the third servant does with the talent, he is displeased and casts him out. The owner judges that the servant was unfaithful with the talent entrusted to him. And because he is unfaithful, this servant will not enter into joy with his master. For the third servant, this large sum of money was terrifying. And not only was he afraid, but the owner calls him lazy for not putting the money in the bank. He did not do the work he was given to do. This servant shows that he is most interested in himself, in protecting himself, in his own security, not in faithfully serving the owner, in faithfully doing the work the owner entrusted to him. This parable is a call for us who follow Jesus. It is a call to be faithful in the work that God entrusts to us. It's a call to use whatever God has given us, whatever gifts, talents, material resources that God entrusts to us, to use in service of God's kingdom. It is the call to not be afraid of the responsibility given to us, burying what we have in fear, hiding what God entrusts to us. We must not hoard what God has given us, trying to preserve it, hoping for security in the future. We must not shrink from the work before us as we try to protect ourselves, thinking mostly of our security and well-being. Rather, we are to make full use of what God has entrusted to us, offering all of our talents, our resources, our time in service of God. We are to use all that God gives us to follow Jesus in loving service to our neighbor. Now, there's no doubt that it is hard to cast off fear, especially when there is so much fear all around us in this time. During this pandemic, so many fear that they or someone they love will become ill. The divisions of hate in our nation cause fear. People of color fear for their lives because of white supremacy's power. Many fear for their economic well-being as jobs are lost, medical bills mount, and the threat of another lockdown looms. Fear is real. And the result of fear is paralysis. Fear shuts us down. It causes us to seek our shelter and protection. Fear focuses us inward on our own security and on the security of those we love. Fear doesn't draw us outward, doesn't connect us in community where we might find support that strengthens us. Fear instead drives us apart, isolating us from one another. Jesus gives us the strength we need to let go of fear, to give up our anxiety and despair. Jesus calls us to put our trust in the Word of God, in the one who creates all things and has awesome power. Jesus calls us away from our worship of the things of this world to the worship of the one who loves us, who redeems us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The one who abides with us, dwelling in our very being through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that forms and shapes us into a holy people. As God's holy people, we are all given gifts to be used in God's service. No gift is too small, no gift is too insignificant to be used by God. In fact, each gift is given us by God for a reason and a purpose. And God calls us to use all the gifts we have been given to build the kingdom of God here on earth. And so this day, let us say yes to God. Let us give abundantly from all that we have been given by God, sharing generously our time, our talent, and our treasure without counting the cost, giving back generously from all that God lovingly gives us. Living as generous workers in the kingdom, as people who work tirelessly for God, we will know joy. As we build the beloved community on earth, walking in the way of love, we will know the joy of being a beacon of hope to a world plunged into darkness, fear, suffering, and death. Today's collect of the day, after it calls us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest Scripture, goes on to ask God that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are called by Jesus to live in hope, to live by the strong hope rooted in God, God who drives out all fear. We are to live with deep trust in the promises of God, staking our lives on the power of God, that power that is stronger than any earthly power, that power that is stronger than sin and death. We are to trust the one who defeats the hold of sin and evil so that they no longer have hold over us even now in this life. The hope of everlasting life is ours now in this moment, in this age. And that hope is real and true and trustworthy as we journey through this life of travail, making our earthly pilgrimage. Let us give ourselves over completely to hope, hope placed in God, and accept the invitation to the life of joy that God prepares for us. God claims us, God marks us as Christ's own forever. We are held by God in this life and in the next. God calls us to live faithfully in this life so that we might enter into the joy of the heavenly kingdom, that we might hear at last those words so lovingly said by God to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen.